The scripture is Romans 4:18-21. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous shall your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow, you're all awake. It is always a delight to be in the house of God. I was not told I was going to be doing this today until last evening. And I said, like it says in the Bible, that we should be prepared in and out of season. So, all right, I will. I said to Connie. So this morning, please bear with me. I'm not a preacher. I love Jesus. I usually do not stand before people, because when you're working with patients, it's one-on-one. So coming before a group like this brings the butterfly up and down. But I will do my best as the Spirit leads. I will tell you a little bit about who I am and where I come from, and then we will talk about what God has laid on my heart for this morning. I am originally from Liberia, and Liberia was founded after the ex-slaves returned from this country. And when the ex-slaves went back there, they brought back their culture and mixed it with the local culture, and it became the Liberian culture. And that's why we speak English, some English, because when they arrived, they didn't speak any other dialect. It was just English. The country is about 4 million population, a very small country that has suffered immensely. The Civil War that lasted for 14 years, and now the present situation in the country. I was, however, privileged to leave Liberia in 1980 to pursue a medical degree in the former Soviet Union. And that was the USSR. I think you remember that time, and it used to be called the Cold War. That was when the Soviets and the Americans did not see eye to eye. But that was the time a young African woman was granted scholarship to come to the Soviet Union, get her medical degree, become indoctrinated in the communist philosophy and atheism, and sent back to Africa to be the best people to propagate the Soviet philosophies. Can you imagine that? For a young woman who wanted to become a doctor, had to put up with atheism and communism, and was supposed to be a great communist, to go back home and be the communist woman who would propagate this system. But God had a different plan. And that plan was powerful, as it was yesterday and is today, and did not make me a communist, but made me a true believer in Jesus Christ. So I was there in the former Soviet Union. After a long process that I went through, I was eventually kicked out of the country because of my faith in Christ. I left and came to this country, went to Emory University School of Public Health, and when I was done with that, I was then sent back to the now Russia by the General Board of Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. And I became the first missionary since 1917 after the revolution. And I served there for 10 years as a medical missionary. I left and went to Armenia, which was also one of the republics. And I spent a year there serving the refugees from Armenia and Azerbaijan. When I left there, I went to Tajikistan, another republic that used to be part of the USSR, and I spent 6 months again working with refugees. My last 10 years were spent in Kazakhstan, and Kazakhstan in the northeastern part of the country is where the Soviets did their nuclear testing for nearly 40 years. And that was the underground and above ground testing that was done. So for 10 years, I lived in that area, looking at the effects of radiation on the population. And nearly 2.5 years ago, God had a different plan, and he was going to take me back to my country of origin, Liberia, where it all started. Because it was in Liberia, when I was in the second grade, that he planted a seed in my heart that I was going to become a physician, and I was going to take care of all the people after I lost my second grade best friend to malaria. And so he's taking me all around, giving me all the different skills to be able to bring me right back to where I find myself today. So I want to say, to God be all the glory. And now we read this morning the scriptures from the book of Romans. How appropriate that has been for me. Because I served the United Methodist churches for 22 years, faithfully, in all these different places that I lived. But then, when the Kazakh in Kazakhstan decided that missionaries could no longer stay all year in country, they had to leave every 3 months and come back. I didn't think that would be the best way to use the resources that God had given to us. And so I opted not to go back to Kazakhstan. And the General Board of Global Ministries said, well, then you have to go to another country and not your own country. And can you imagine what it was? I am willing to go back to Liberia to serve my people, and I'm being told, no, you cannot. Because you're a Liberian, it would be best for you to serve in Mozambique. Learning Russian language was not so much a challenge for me because I was younger. Learning Kazakh was not a challenge. I was still, I consider myself to still be a young woman. But going to Mozambique at my age and wanting to be effective and learning Portuguese for another length of time, I would have been learning it till retirement. And so I thought there was not the way to use my medical talents. But this morning, the book of Romans talks about Abraham. Most of us in here have heard the story of Abraham. Yeah, Abraham is 100 years old, and he's been promised that he was going to have a child. Can you imagine what the medical community would have said today? Can you imagine that? His T levels was basically zero. But God said he was going to become the father of all nations. Imagine what that was. Looking at his body, he was too old. Looking at his wife, she was too old. He even said about her as being dead. And yet, God was placing the promise into these two that will change the world. The descendants will go on. And here I was, after 22 years, I had nothing, basically. The missionaries has nothing. No health care, no money. And I'm told, you can work with us. You either go to Mozambique or that's it. And at that point, God said to me in my heart, like Abraham, I'm giving you a promise. And you will go home to Liberia and you will serve my people there. And I will be your provider. I will care for you. I will strengthen you. I will heal you. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. So I said, okay. I packed up my things and I moved to Liberia. I moved honestly, not knowing what was there for me. But I knew I was going with Christ. And when we go with Christ, we are going to be cared for by him. I went and started this little clinic. Just the four sticks in the ground with my shower curtains that I brought back from Kazakhstan. I wrapped it around it, and that's how I started to do clinic. Five patients, 10, and then we came to 100, and then we came to more than that. So every day now I see 50 patients, and that's the cutoff. And people are still begging at the end of the day, please, can you turn to me? Please, can you see us? Please, can you treat us? It's like professionally, I'm able to do just 50. Come the next day if you want me to give you the best of my skills. But it's a fight to say no to them. And the verses that I read to you this morning has always brought comfort, real comfort to my heart, that I made the right decision at the right time. And just like Esther, she was called for such a time as that. And I was called for such a time like this. Because when I went to Liberia, I had no clues that we would be facing what we face today with Ebola. I didn't know anything about that. All I knew, I had a heart. I was going to be seeing malaria cases, diarrhea, skin problems, wound problems, but never Ebola, such a deadly disease. But for the last several months, that's the tragedy we had to live with. Seeing patients died of this disease. So like Abraham, the Bible says here this morning, against all hope. Against all hope. It seems like it is so hopeless. That's the fear that people live through today. Everything seems so hopeless. The schools are shut down. The universities are. The hospitals are. The clinics are. Chaos all over the streets. And it seems hopeless. But I see hope in the midst of all the things that I just described to you. I see Jesus being honored and glorified every day in the midst of the confusion. I see my own health workers, 13 of them, since March, we've been on the field, taking healthcare into the homes of the victims, educating them, because about 90% of the people you deal with sometimes cannot read or write. So you have to be able to adjust your program to be able to accommodate them. But in the midst, I see the volunteers going out there and serving. I see us being able to change the number of deaths that would have occurred if we were not there. When I see them setting up stages in the communities with buckets, talking about public health interventions, they're not afraid to be out there. It brings joy to my heart and reminds me that when we feel hopeless and helpless, we still can find hope. We still can find faith in Christ. So my question to you this morning, not being a pastor, not being a preacher, are you overwhelmed with anything in your life that seems so hopeless and helpless, even in the great America? If so, I would say to you today that like Abraham, he did not waver in his faith. It was because he had a personal relationship with Christ. It was that personal relationship that made him to, against all odds, stay hoped that he was going to become the father of all nations. Do you have that hope this morning? Can you honestly say, Dr. Hina, I didn't know. But yes, because I know Christ, I have that hope of the promise that he would never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. Can you say that this morning? Can you? Well, that's a blessing if you can. That's a real blessing if you can say that. And I thank God for that, because it tells me that you do have a relationship with Christ. And it is that relationship with Christ that keeps us. It is that relationship with Christ that when it says, you cannot do that, we can say we can do it because of him who lives in us. If you say, well, Dr. Hina, I don't know about you, but I have tried everything and nothing seems to be working. My conversation with you this morning would be, try again. Try again. Hold on to the faith that he has promised. Because Abraham, yeah, says, it says, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Fully persuaded. And that's the same persuasion I have in my heart. That yes, Ebola is there. Yes, Ebola has killed many. But yet, I have still seen how God is healing amongst those that have Ebola and those that are recovering that we don't hear on the news. We don't hear it on the news that people are recovering from this deadly Ebola. Men and women in Liberia are on their knees praying day and night. They're fasting for their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are seeing how God is beginning to show mercy and grace to those people that we have lost, the families that are left, the orphans now. We have so many that have become orphans, that He is there, He's protecting them, and He's providing for them. And so I want to say thank you to all of you for all the support that you have given to the people back there. Buckets that we were able to put up in communities were provided to us by generous people in this country who were able to send us funds to buy the buckets. And when we meet for lunch, that's when I will show you my PowerPoint presentation so you actually can see what he's doing there. In such little time that we've been back in Liberia, 2 years, the things that he has accomplished through us, we're very grateful, we're very thankful. And so to God be all the glory, and I will honor him this morning by just saying to you that he has truly protected us. In August, I got so sick, and it was almost like the end has come. But I kept reminding myself that he was still in the business of healing, and he was going to heal my body. Even though everything looked so weak, he was going to heal me. When I arrived in the U.S., on the 10th, I decided that I was going to go into self-imposed quarantine. So for 21 days in Atlanta, Georgia, I was in total isolation. Total isolation. And I saw only the trees that were around where I lived. And it was at that point that again I was reminded of how terrible isolation can be for humans. And I was reminded of those people that are in isolation tents around. People that you see in these tents that are set up by doctors without borders, and how they are there, cannot talk to their families, cannot hear voices, cannot touch anybody, cannot feel. It just reminded me of how grateful I should be for everything that he has done for me, even though I see the trees around. But he created the trees, and I can enjoy the environment and stay, be mindful of the people that were back there. So I want to say thank you. I have a lot of things to be thankful for. After 21 days of quarantine, I had no fever. I had no signs or symptoms. And even though people are so afraid, oh, Ebola is going to come and get you, you have to be in direct contact with those patients to have this Ebola virus. And so today I'm very thankful that I'm alive. I can go on talking to you, and I can go on serving when I return to Liberia, the patients again. So thank you. And remember what Abraham in his book says, that being fully persuaded that God, who had power to do what he had promised, would do it. For all of us in Liberia, and for all of you here in this town and in this church, God bless you. Amen.